While there's a Siemens Health Engineers where there's equipment maintenance, upgrades, various other things, you also have a GE, which has created this digital wind farm, which is actually doing this data analysis and transfer for its customers, which helps to reduce downtime, enhance operational efficiency, and lead to higher production, which is obviously what the desired intention is. Now, also, some of the coming to some of the costing aspect, when you talk about banks, then for a lot of the banks, as much as when you talk about banks, when you talk about telecom companies, when you talk about so many industries, in terms of their operational costs, almost 80% of their operational costs are because of is because of their operation services, which are going into their costs. So you can imagine how important it becomes. Likewise, when you have retail sector, and in retail sector, the customer service engagement experience dynamism is far deeper. And in the retail sector, services can form almost 98, 97, 98 percent of your operations costs. So that is how important this becomes for from an operations point of view, regardless of services industry or management industry. So when we are talking about this, then obviously another thing which becomes really, really important is that then top management needs to be very closely involved, because eventually it is the philosophy of the top manager which trickles down all the way to the last employee. So if you see, so for example, there are certain airlines, and there's a very large airline from the Middle East, which it has been rumored has been up for sale for a very long time. And there, the general belief is that, the customer service there has become horrible because the CEOs, etc., themselves are not bothered. The board is not bothered because they know they're up for sale. So their commitment is just, short time, immediate term, and they're not really involved. Hence, even if you escalate issues, typically if you escalate to a CEO of any industry, it gets your issue gets resolved in real time. But here with this airline, it's infamous for lack of resolution of genuine issues, even if things are escalated to the topmost CEO level. So when top management commitment is not there, then that becomes a really big issue. And for example, a study showed that almost 19 million people quit their jobs in April to September of 2021, which is just about when the first and second wave of Delta coronavirus were easing off. And this is data for the US. 19 million people quit their jobs. And people, it is believed, quit bosses, they don't quit jobs. So if they are quitting bosses, obviously there are issues with top management involvement, even with their employees, engaging their employees. And hence, obviously, these people don't really see a future for themselves. In any case, if you see studies, then the highest ch industry with the highest churn in terms of employment is the customer service industry. People don't really see a future. They see it as low end. They move on really fast. So, you're discussing an issue with one customer service executive. Before you know it, the person has quit, gone elsewhere, and you are having to, refresh the issue with someone else. So top management involvement becomes extremely important. And let's we look at some of the examples where top management involvement has really, really enhanced the service experience for these companies. And then obviously that has added to the bottom line of these companies. Some of the fastest growing services sectors, as we are saying, we see how they are focusing on services. The ones where we have discussed, whether companies where things did not go, they had to shut shop, whatever the issue, then obviously there are opportunities which have been missed. For example, Google, look at the way it has grown. And versus that, if you look at a Yahoo, initially it was an absolute leader, but then they obviously stuck to the traditional, modes versus going into the search engine and, monetizing their various features. And obviously, Google has far taken over, and, we know where Yahoo is vis-a-vis that. So missed opportunities can have a significant bottom line impact for companies. Planning, managing, monitoring, all of these things become very important for service management, for performance of manufacturing companies. So, for example, Volvo, which for their construction equipment, they have a system, they have this U-Drive, they have launched U-Drive, where they maintain, they manage, but they don't transfer the burden onto the owner. So this is again a successful arrangement they've had for their construction equipment client, where they have offered this service. Now here, obviously, for creating this, innovation is required, ideas are required, enabling management is required. Who can, someone would have conceptualized U-Drive, then to test it, to launch it, make it successful. Obviously, there has to be top management support for enabling good ideas and taking them from the ideation process to the commercialization stage, ideation stage to the commercialization stage. So once again, I'm saying top management, and that assumes even more importance. So giving you an example closer to India, I don't know how many of you have heard of the brand Hyphen, which is a skincare brand. Which is promoted by the actor Kriti Sanon. Now, if you are on Instagram or these social media platforms, you will see it very often. It's become a very popular brand, and even in terms of profitability, it's doing very well. And I was reading an analysis of the profitability and success of Hyphen versus some of the other skincare brands launched by several other well-known celebrities. And one of the reasons for Hyphen's success is that Kriti Sanon very often appears in the promotional campaigns herself rather than using other people. She is shown she uses the product herself in front of people, and that shows her commitment to the product, because a lot of times people say that, celebrities who are promoting these products don't even use them themselves, so are they not confident about their own product? But coming back to understanding the operational excellence and the whole process of servicing in her manufacturing of this skincare brands, she, in one of the advertisements I saw, she was referring to customer surveys, and there is this OG sunscreen. One of the products, one of the most best-selling products that they have under this brand is this OG sunscreen. And this sunscreen acts as a sunscreen and moisturizer, etc. And it's made of 5 ceramides. And the surveys and customer feedback showed two aspects which could be improved. One was that it felt a little heavy. So it felt a little greasy on the skin. And the Indian summer. And also in terms of blending, customers gave feedback through their surveys that it was not blending as smoothly. So they reworked the product, and she was announcing that the latest batch of the OG sunscreen that they have has improved both these aspects. It's become more lightweight to apply, doesn't feel as greasy, and it blends far more smoothly. So bottom line, feedback was taken, work was done through the manufacturing, and hence put forward, and this is all being enumerated by the promoter herself. So that commitment makes a world of a difference. So for example, Southwest Airline, one of the leading airlines, been around since 1971, the airline, the over decades, one has seen their CEOs on the plane, on the tarmac, in the lounges, at the airport, interacting with customers. Now, this is not just something which is a show, oh, they're so humble. they're actually interacting with customers one-on-one, getting feedback, incorporating those elements into their service, into their airline, and all of this helps the entire streamlining of this service and this manufacturing business which they are into. Now, the fact that we are talking about, you know, top management and top management being so involved and ensuring customer satisfaction, loyalty, etc. Also, keep in mind that the top management can't always be rah-rah positive, you know, that, oh, we're just eternal optimists. They have to be realists also. So while there are mistakes and lapses and uncertainties, they have to admit to those. Only if they admit to those will they be able to improve and respond in a timely manner. So if it's a courier company which has a target that within 24 hours we deliver and it is not being able to do, they have to have a CEO who is ready to admit that a lapse happened there and we will respond to it in a timely manner. For example, there is a pillow mattress kind of company called Frido, which is becoming popular now. They advertise these pillows for people who have sensitive backs and back pains. And recently a customer put up on Twitter that she had ordered something from Frido and what she received was either damaged or not up to her expectations or something. And immediately the CEO, you know, one of the top management persons responded to her and said that, you know, we admit the mistake, we apologize for it, and we will ensure that, you know, we replace and, make sure that there's a solution for it in real time, very quickly. So top management, while they have to motivating their teams, while they have to be, positive and, brand ambassadors, at the same time, in the interest of execution excellence, in the interest of real implementation and long-term benefit, they have to have the capability of admitting where the faults are, where the uncertainties are, and delivering on those. So, for example, let's look at, while we're talking about the positives of Southwest Airlines, there was also an episode which got them exceedingly bad press. And there was a film director, a well-known film director, who was removed from the flight by the pilot because he was told that he's very fat to fly. He cannot fit in that one seat that he has booked, and he was removed from the flight. Now, he went and tweeted about it. Being a Hollywood personality, he had a very large following, and because of that, there was a heavy backlash. Now, immediately there was a response from Southwest. They apologized, had to make. So it is not about always being gung-ho and positive. It's about being realists who also admit there are uncertainties. We have to work on those. Where there is a fault, we will get involved. Yes, we have social media teams to handle this, but as a top manager, as a CEO, even I can. There's nothing preventing me from responding to it, and rather than leaving it to some manager. So companies who have got this whole understanding in terms of awareness, responsiveness, right, have definitely benefited. So when the top management is involved in a very committed manner, then you have results like IKEA. Now, we are all familiar with IKEA, even in India. It's become so successful, right? So IKEA, which is the Swedish lifestyle brand, now, the founder, when he conceptualized this, and look at the way it has grown, you know, it's the first point where, you know, someone setting up an apartment, young couples, students, anyone, that is where they go, you know. He didn't think of IKEA only as a furniture brand. He thought of it as a lifestyle brand. And then he realized that is something which is... there is a demand for this from the consumers. And he, despite manufacturing his products and whatever else, he made his company a services company, a lifestyle services company, rather than just a furniture manufacturer. And in a world of, we are seeing wherever IKEA is being put up, we are seeing how badly they are beating out their local competitive brands. You know, even if you think about the Indian scenario, there were certain furniture, sites and brands that you went to. And now, you know, your first point is IKEA. So manufacturers, even if they are, lower cost, etc., unless the service management is not, really flawless, they're going to be like beaten by competition. So there are a lot of things which have to be kept in mind. Top management involvement becomes even more key in the manufacturing sector from a service efficiency point of view. Competition, once again, is one of the reasons why, one of the biggest reasons why, when I was giving you the example of Dunzo, competition is one of the reasons why Dunzo lost out. You know, they didn't respond to their customers changing expectations, didn't respond to what the others were doing in terms of other players were doing in terms of delivery timelines, etc. They became obsolete, and they went offline in January. So it becomes, if you have your service excellence, if you have a loyal customer base, even if someone comes in with a lower cost option, it's not easy for them to enter somewhere where you have a first mover advantage. It's not easy for them to replace you. So when we're talking about the example of the shampoo, which I told you, the purple shampoo, Goodbye Yellow. Now, today, one bottle of that costs about 800 to 900 rupees versus another shampoo, which I would be buying for 150, 200, but I'm ready to spend that 800 to 900 rupees because I like this. Now, tomorrow, if a lower cost option comes into the market, this purple shampoo concept is catching on, but I'm not even looking at those or considering those because I'm happy with this. The loyalty is there. The accessibility, local presence is there in a lot of places. I am satisfied. There's no reason for me to look at another option, even if it is half the price or one third the price. So this is where, these are things which have to be kept inside, top down at all levels of management and employees. Now, another aspect of role of top management when it comes to qualitative issues, service issues, can again be understood even better from the example of the insurance company, auto insurance company in the US, which is the Progressive Auto Insurance Company. Now, Progressive has a very interesting, so auto insurance means if there's an accident, then there is insurance, and there it assumes a very big, it's important in India also, but closely it is monitored internationally. So they have this special team called CAT, which is the catastrophe management team. So if there is an accident, they have a team which flies to the site of the accident, assesses everything, all of that, expedites the release of funds to the policyholder, and ensures that it is done very seamlessly so that the policyholder is going through as little pain as possible. Okay. Now, what this does is you might think, oh my God, flying a team down to the site of the automobile accident and, so expensive, how is the cost justified? The cost is justified. Why? Because of this, there are lesser legal fees. There is more money in the hands of the policyholder. There is lesser in legal fees, lesser in so many other kinds of charges and fees. And bottom line, they become the preferred point for auto insurance. So the customer stays with them longer. He refers over and above his individual business. He refers 10 others to them. Referrals is a huge part of the service delivery chain. He stays with them longer, it enhances his policy. As his family grows, more policy comes in, referrals come in. So they more than make up for the profitability. And because of this, they have they are the number two auto insurance company in the US. And they have continued to stay so over decades and decades and decades. And don't undermine the loyalty factor of an existing customer. So I'm talking about customer experience where I say that, you know, it's very expensive to bring in new customers versus retaining an older one. But forget about that. It's so profitable to keep an existing customer if you have the right customer experience for the right product, right service, right branding. Because, for example, a very interesting study. So we have pizza, which is a very low end in terms of price, budgets, etc. It's a, you know, not one of the most expensive products on the planet. But the lifetime earning from a single pizza owner, assuming you get his loyalty, you get his, he's liked your product, but he's liked your service, he's liked all of those things, then the lifetime earnings from a pizza consumer, a single pizza consumer, you know, studies show, analysis show, can be more than $8,000. The lifetime of, let's go to a slightly more higher end product and look at Cadillac owners, the car. So if you have a loyal Cadillac customer, the lifetime earnings from the Cadillac customer could be, you know, in excess of $300-$350 USD. So it is not simply in terms of, oh, I'm not having to spend on new customers. I am generating more revenue from the same customer. So it makes it very difficult for competitors to come and beat you out, competitors to come and enter, you know, and you have that position of power. I can't keep stressing the importance of after sales service, because a lot of brands lose out because of after sales. You know, even if you think of your individual life, you will not buy a product, even if it's great, you're getting a great discount, great price, because you know there are certain brands which are infamous for after sales. Now, a lot of companies think of after sales as, oh my God, it's that burdensome thing. We've already got the money and why should we, you know, like bother with that? Or, okay, we have to do it functionally. But that then resonates with the customer's psychology. It leaves when they have to replace, then, you know, they are going to replace it that much more easily. For, you know, when I was citing the Salesforce studies, 70% of the consumers said that, you know, technology today makes it so easy for them to switch to competition. So you will lose business if after sales is treated as like, oh my God, it's a burden, we have to functionally do it, versus thinking of it as, oh, this is an extension of our sale process and we have to continue to do this to keep getting new, to retain our existing customer as much as possible. Now, a lot of the challenges we have already discussed, which make your after sales, make a lot of your service elements in manufacturing challenging. And a lot of those then end up at poor governance at all levels, because as I was talking about top management, now IKEA top management is obviously very invested, not just in ideation, commercialization, but also in terms of all of their, after sales. Otherwise, you know, like a Prince Harry, he mentioned about purchasing at IKEA soon after he got married. So someone like him is not going to give you free branding, without even being asked to do that and become a promoter for your brand, unless he wasn't, you know, extremely happy with the way they manage everything. And he has how many more options that he can go to, both from a budget point of view and various other points of view. So if you can be on top of these challenges, then of course it is going to add to your bottom line, and don't give it a stepchild kind of treatment. Inefficiencies in your quality management, service management, can come in from various elements. Spare parts are not there, especially when you think of, let's say, international brands that are available in India. A lot of times you buy something great, very nice, but you know, when you need a replacement, oh, it's not available in India, it has to be imported from XYZ, you cannot use the product till then, if at all it is available, it becomes so expensive. So there are a lot of elements which add to inefficiencies. These can be because of, the post-sale service end-of-life planning is not being optimally handled, whether it's logistics, whether it is engineering. You have elements in the product cycle which are not being handled properly. Now, other errors and inefficiencies can come in because of delayed response. You have long time manual error. You have data is coming to you with a lag. It is not coming to you in real time. So by that, it's outdated. These days, we know how quickly data becomes outdated. So here it's becoming outdated before it is of any relevance or use to you. It's coming to you after the relevance has already expired. Various other elements of inefficiencies come in from service delivery issues. Your distribution service is not effective. You are not able to use your, you don't have too many insights into the repair cycle. All of these things lead to inefficiencies. Other elements of inefficient customer operations can involve contracts are not being renewed. You have your call center resolutions are not happening effectively. The costs of maintaining that are very, very high. You don't have the right information. So all of these inefficiencies impact the life cycle of your customer experience. So after sales service, as we have discussed through various examples, can be enhanced in various ways by right pricing, effective contract management, top management involvement. When I was talking about top management involvement, I mentioned IKEA. So IKEA, obviously the promoter, the owner, founder of IKEA is so entrenched in the whole life cycle because, for example, Prince Harry, after he got married, he spoke about using IKEA to purchase, furniture for his items for his home. And that's like free publicity and branding for IKEA. He wouldn't have done that if there were inefficiencies involved. He wouldn't have mentioned IKEA because he has a lot of other options to go to. He doesn't even need to go that low cost. He could go high cost as well, but it's just functional, one-stop shop, is effective in a lot of ways. They got their act correct and hence the benefit to them. So today, 90% of customers, again, a Salesforce study, 90% of customers say that, the speed at which they get a resolution is something which is very, very important to them in terms of your solution and customer satisfaction. So the timing responsiveness is very, very important. Now, also another thing to keep in mind when we're talking about service efficiency is consistency. So we talk about a lot of elements. But having the right consistency is also important. So, for example, you have to design your servicing right. Today, most entities are available on social media, traditional form, human interaction. Customers, 75% of customers say, and there is a PwC study, that 75% of customers say that we want a consistent experience. Whether it is if we are interacting, we want after sales service or at any other stage, whether we are interacting with a human being on the phone, whether we are going to the outlet, whether we are interacting on social media, whether it's email, we want a consistent interaction. We don't want that, one element is more solution oriented or efficient than the other. And also, they say that 75% of the time, despite all the upgradations and technology, we prefer to speak to a human being. Because you can't substitute a human being. So it's important to not eliminate the human element and have the right portfolio. Also, when you're offering, sometimes you're bundling portfolio services, when giving to the customer. So you have to have the right element and portfolio in balance between human interaction, other forms, and make it consistent for the customer. Now, purely talking in terms of human interaction, think of a check drop. Despite all the high tech, even today, I know so many people even people who are otherwise modern in a lot of ways, when they walk into a bank to drop a check, they don't want to put it in the drop box. They want to give it to the teller. They want to have their deposit slip proof that this is the time we give. We don't want the chance, no matter how efficient that system may have become. Despite that, from a psychological point of view, human interaction has to be part of, in a lot of ways, has to be in a lot of industries and product cycles, has to be part of your bundle. In some, of course, digitally enhanced, it may not be. But in a lot of places where required, please provide it, please supply it. So this can help in you getting loyal customers. And also, for if you're giving this right service, then a lot of customers don't need frills. For example, when Indigo was launched, the on time, when they were getting their punctuality right at the peak of their game, they were getting that right and they had no problem, you know, with the no frills. You have to buy your food, you have to buy your drink, you have to buy your coffee, no issues. Because my main requirement of punctuality and reaching my destination on time is being met. So do your market research, see what is most important to that segment of customers and supply that. Don't supply what you feel is a priority to you. Getting a pricing right is very important. As we get into more details of various kinds of pricing in a dedicated chapter, we will see how pricing of services can be vital to success. How you measure the cost, keep in mind with services, very often there's this difficulty in terms of, you know, difficulty to quantify. But when we talk about pricing, we'll see how you can kind of factor in various elements to arrive at an appropriate pricing for your services. Contract management, especially since we've been talking so much about subscription-based, you know, time-based, hourly-based, as a service, contract management is very important. Effective contract management, and in fact, you know, companies like Infosys have dedicated arms which are doing contract management services, where you have a contract right from signing. The work begins, maybe more of the work begins on signing, where you go on to monitoring other terms being adhered to, is everything being managed legally, etc. Monitoring that, giving the sending that information back, and to understand how important it is. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard of the brand Toys R Us. Toys R Us was a very, very prominent brand supplying children's toys. And they signed a contract with Amazon way back to exclusively sell through Amazon. Now, it was a contract. Now, Amazon, over and above Toys R Us, also started during the lifetime of this 10-year contract. They also started allowing other parties and other brands to sell, which created competition. And from Toys R Us, it's exclusive, but Amazon is not exclusive and permitting others. So Toys R Us sued Amazon, a whole legal thing happened, costs, etc., all of that. But bottom line, despite all of that, Toys R Us missed the opportunity to grow in a way that others could have, because they were preoccupied with all these inefficiencies. So contract management is that important. And obviously, the factors in it have to be very closely managed. So you can look at various elements, even when you are subscribing to, you as a Netflix customer, you when you're going in for a telecom service, or you when you're investing in a mutual fund, by putting your signature there, by putting your digital signature there, you are agreeing to something. Very often it is in fine print, you don't know, and then you get up and say, I don't know, I didn't know, and someone shows you a fine print and says it was there. So contract management also is something which requires a certain level of proactivity to manage it well and to ensure that it is embedded seamlessly in the service life. Execution is important over and above everything else. Implementation, execution, ideation is great, but unless it's executed, the service is executed well. You know, we saw the example of Google Glass, great product, but, you know, users just didn't understand. It was not user-friendly, became a huge issue. intelligence, analytics, big data are very important, because it's important to analyze what didn't work. Great, we know what worked, but if it didn't work, are we improving it and responding to that or not? So these elements become extremely important. Top management involvement and governance cannot be undermined. I have been repeatedly citing examples to you of top management involvement, and that is very important from setting a standard point of view, having SOPs for ensuring that top down, all employee levels are engaged, trained, aware, and can pass that on to the customer. So a lot of organizations over and above the operation COO, chief operating officer, have a chief service officer also. And the chief service officer's role becomes extremely important. A lot of organizations, especially telecom, etc., you will see, and banks, banking industry, you will see there are hubs and there are nodal officers, and then above them are further hubs. So it is important that the role is very well defined, and they are enabled in a way that they can provide, they can be on top of the service SOPs as efficiently as possible. Thank you.